Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire, a leading provider of workforce planning and analytics solutions so powerful they should wear tights and a cape. We enable and streamline organizational charting, succession planning, workforce modeling, and strategic workforce initiatives. Visit Acquire CEO Lois Melbourne's blog at blog.acquire.com for her enlightening insight into current HR industry issues by way of Star Trek, The Fonz, and Ebenezer Scrooge.
Welcome back to the HR Happy Hour.
Ooh.
It is great to be back, Sean. I missed last week's show. I was on the road doing that conference thing, and but glad to be back.
Doing an awesome job at that conference thing, I might add.
Thank you. We'll talk about that just in a second. Welcome to the HR Happy Hour. I am Steve Bowes. With me, of course, Sean Amorky. This is episode 93, Next Gen HR Technology Show, and I get a good dose of sort of geeky fun, Shauna. Sort of back
I love
to
geeky fun.
Right, back to our roots to some degree with a tech show, which is always, you know, among my favorites. This show is being recorded live on March 31st, 2011. Way to wrap up the first quarter of 2011 with your pals here on HR Happy Hour. So we are really, really pleased you're with us tonight as well. So we've got a couple of really fantastic guests. We'll get to them in just a couple of minutes as we go through getting back on board, getting back in the saddle, if you will, Shauna. So, and I want to talk a little bit about last week's show as well. So our call-in number, though, just let me get through the announcements here. Our call-in number for tonight is 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you'd like to come on board tonight. We'll definitely have some time to take a few calls. If you're working on the back channel tonight and hanging out on Twitter, our hashtag, of course, HR Happy Hour. We'll be keeping an eye on that during the show. Sean is sort of the hall monitor on Twitter as well. And hopefully, so keep an eye on that. And you could put like someone in Twitter detention, Sean, if you feel the need to. That's fine. You know, like banish them from the hashtag. I think we can do that.
Oh no, that's mean.
I think we're allowed to do that.
I don't want to do that.
So we'll take some questions and comments as well from Twitter, certainly. I just do, you know, our guests are waiting patiently, and I promise we'll get to them in a second, so I appreciate their patience. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention, just, you know, make sure I got them out on the show, because you know how it is, Sean. We get to the end of the show, and we're always scrambling, right, the last couple of minutes.
Right.
So just a couple of things I wanted to mention before we get on to tonight's topic. I just want to say a huge thank you to David Manister, Todd Raphael, Lance Hahn, from ERE, Matt Jeffrey, the conference chair at the ERE Expo last week, and really everybody at ERE. There's so many people, I can't name them all, just for having me out there last week at the ERE Expo in San Diego. It was just a super conference. I had a great time hosting the live stream at the ERE event. Just so many, many thanks to everybody who came on the web show. There's so many people that came on and sat with me for a little bit of time on the web show, and I really appreciate that. There's probably too many to thank, but you know who you are, so I do want to thank you for doing that. A really great time, and hopefully we'll get to do that again at another event. I also wanted to mention, because a lot of people have asked about this, Shauna. Not anybody really caring about me, I don't think, so much, but many of the guests have asked, and fans of the guests have asked about archived versions of those interviews that we did on the live stream last week. And I do believe they will be made available shortly and get posted probably out on ERE sometime soon. And when that happens, we will make sure we share that information as well. So that's announcement one. I wanted to absolutely make sure I talked about the ERE Expo. Just a fantastic event, and really props to the folks at ERE. Next is our friend Jessica Miller-Merrill, who's known,
hi,
you know her as Blogging for Jobs. Yeah, she's got an interesting new project going on called Zero Unemployment, and we just wanted to make sure we gave that a shout-out on the show tonight and you know, encourage you guys who are listening to the show to check out the Zero Unemployment Movement. They've got a Facebook page that you could check out. It's really cool, and that's at facebook.com/zerounemployment, zero spelled out with a Z. So, Sean, I'm still going. Gus, hang in there. Gus, have a drink or something. We'll get to you in a second, I promise. As I go through all the announcements, I feel like I've been gone for a year. You know, I'm reading like a speech or something.
Aww.
But I have extensive notes I'm reading off of. So next,
sure.
Of course, thanks to our friend and sort of the official guest host of the HR Happy Hour, Jason Seiden, for guest hosting last week. I did listen to the show, super job by Jason and Shauna as well, and thanks to you guys and all the callers and guests, Curtis Midkiff, Trish McFarland, Craig Fisher, and everybody else who joined the fun last week. Appreciate that very much. And Jason will be back again soon. We're working out the dates as we speak.
Boy.
And lastly, always thanks to our sponsors, Acquire, just fantastic supporters
Love
of
you,
the
Acquire.
Show, Lois Melbourne and the whole team at Acquire. We really appreciate that. And they're also supporting the HR Evolution, which is coming up in a few weeks. And, yeah, it's going to be great fun, and we'll talk about that HR. We're going to do an HR Evolution show in a couple weeks as well, so we'll talk about that. So that's it, Sean. I got through all my announcements, all my five pages of notes I had to read, so I got through them all. So I should, like, never go away again, you know, because the next show is ultimately going to be just, you know, next thing I know I'm going to be saying, giving birthday wishes, like Willard Scott, you know, oh, Aunt Mary Sue in Topeka turned 100 today, you know, remember?
is our show going to be sponsored by Smucker's, though?
If we could get the Smucker's sponsorship, I'd take it. I'd take that.
Oh,
okay, so great. Hey, HR Happy Hour, we're back. This is Steve Bowes. Shauna Markey's here. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086. Hashtag on Twitter, HR Happy Hour as well. Thanks for bearing with me on all the announcements. Okay, let's get on with this. Let's bring on our guests who are waiting very patiently. First off, I'd like to welcome Nov Almana. Nov is the board chair of IHRIM. IHRIM, which is the leading professional association for knowledge, education, and solutions supporting the human resources information management community. Nov is also the founder and CEO of Collective HR Solutions, his own firm. Nov, welcome to the HR Happy Hour.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thanks for hanging in. Did you bear with that 8-minute sort of prep?
I was stopping like crazy and writing.
Okay, good. You were like, I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep out there. So, well, Nov, welcome to the show. We're really pleased you could join us tonight, and we'll talk about the IHRIM event, IHRIM itself, and the IHRIM event, of course, as well. So, also on the show tonight, next, we're really thrilled. I mean, Nov, we're thrilled to have you on, too. I mean, we are, of course, but we're really thrilled to have the next guest we have on the show tonight, who's Gretchen Alarcon. Gretchen is the Vice President of Human Capital Management Strategy for Oracle Corporation, and she will be giving the keynote presentation at the IHRIM conference that's to be held in May in Washington, D.C. So, Gretchen, welcome to the HR Happy Hour show.
Thank you for having me, and I'd like to thank the Academy, and I'd like to thank other people for inviting me along. This is great.
Take your time, Gretchen. Believe me, it's
an
hour show.
The music's going to go as well? All right, I'll hold on with a few thank yous for later, then.
No, the hook won't come out on this show at all. You believe me. In fact, for the people who are...
Clearly, you've shown that.
Yeah, for the people who are listening, the less I talk and the more the guests talk, the better. So, fantastic. So we're so thrilled to have you.
The Twitter's saying the same thing.
Yeah, less is me. You know, that's it. I was in the show. We did the show a few weeks. It was in January. We did a remote show from the offices of the Ladders, right? The job board, theladders.com.
Oh, yeah.
So we did the show from their offices. And there was, Shauna, you remember this, from the show, there was 15 or 18 people in the room, just great leading thought leaders, recruiting leaders, HR leaders, bloggers, executives. And no one wanted to talk, right? I was asking questions to this room full of the smartest people I know, and no one wanted to talk. And I was just going on and on and on, and that is not good radio. That's what we've learned.
So. Oh, stop it.
So great. Quick reset, HR Happy Hour. We're talking about HR technology. We're talking about the IHRIM organization and the IHRIM conference next I almost said next month. It's kind of next month. It's almost April, so the IRM event is in May, and we'll be talking about that as well. So, Nov, let's start with you, okay? So for the benefit of our listeners who aren't really tech people and might not know much about IRM, can you just give us a little bit of background on the organization and then talk maybe just a little bit about the IRM event and just sort of what are the things that are important to IRM and IRM's members, you know, today?
Sure, and thank you very much, Steve. I won't bore the audience with the history, but I will say that the organization is 30 years old last year. So as much as we are into the social networking, in all honesty, the organization was started here in San Francisco in 1980 with the idea of people dealing with human resources technology. At the time, there were probably maybe four vendors in the whole world.
So
what was that technology?
Yeah, I was going to say, a much smaller expo hall, I'd imagine, back then, right?
Exactly. But it was all about networking and all about sharing experience. And certainly, as both the technology, the vendor, and the impact of human resources on the business and the technology supporting that, the organization has grown substantially since that time frame. And we have now major conferences, and we have a lot of shall we say, the very well-known vendors and some lots of brand new ones. In fact, every year we see, I'd say at least another dozen new vendors in different niches of the industry showing. And so the organization is wrapped around those people who touch the HR technology, so that could be everyone from the user to those that are implementing, and we provide the forums to exchange ideas, see new technology, hear about best practices, innovative ideas, and certainly to the credit of organizations like Oracle, the opportunity to show their brand new products and their directions and such. So that's really what the organization is all about, and it is all around networking.
Right. And Novin, do you sort of draw from sort of a wide swath of the organization? So I imagine you're going to have, of course, HR people, but also probably real core IT people involved in IRM, as well as maybe just, you know, regular, you know, sort of C-suite type business leaders. Is that sort of what you sense, what happens at IRM?
In all honesty, you've hit upon the variety of our membership and those that use our services as an organization really do cut across the entire genre of both titles and functions within the organization, as well as sizes and industries. I mean, we have a significant amount of the small businesses under the 1,000 mark of employees that are constantly coming to the conference to see what's new. And they have a different set of needs, if you will, and perhaps a different bandwidth than those of the larger organizations. And yet, I would say, and maybe Gretchen would agree with me, that as far as I'm concerned, human resources problems really don't matter depending upon the size of your organization. It really is a universal set of problems. Recruiting, retention, compensation, the whole nine yards, we're all experiencing the same thing. So that's really the forum is that we provide, is that sharing.
Great. No, thanks for that. Gretchen, I'd like to throw it over to you. Gretchen, Vice President of Human Capital Strategy at Oracle Corporation, be giving the keynote, opening keynote, I think, at the IRM event. So I wonder if we could talk just a little bit about some of the themes that I know that your presentation is going to touch upon. And maybe before we do that, Gretchen, just tell us a little bit more about you and sort of what you do at Oracle as well.
Well, right now I'm running from meeting to meeting, which is why I was almost late for this one.
What?
So
didn't they clear your schedule for this, Gretchen?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it's kind of it's kind of the curse of being in HR, right? It's the, you know, switch gears very fast and switch hats as fast as you can.
Right.
Yeah, so for the last 5 years I've been working on a new product, which some of you may have heard, called Fusion. And we are in the home stretch on getting that out to market and talking to our customers, which is really exciting. And so it's been wonderful to kind of go and take this process all the way from, you know, beginning all the way through the end and starting to see customers talk about it and share about it. I'd say, though, the first part, though, that is probably important for us and kind of key things we've been thinking about most recently are some of the trends in the marketplace. And some of them are, you know, as Nova said, they've been there for forever. Business process change is always something that HR people care about. And then there are some ones that have really kind of come along more recently, like the rise of social and the need to be more collaborative with our people that we're also able to talk about. So I think there's kind of a many things stay the same. It's just a question of the level of intensity. And now we are starting to see newer technologies come on as well, which I think is great.
Yeah, no, Gretchen, no, there's no doubt. And certainly the project you've been working on for a long time is sort of much anticipated, and you know, definitely people are interested in that. But I think people are also interested in the broader themes, right, that I know that you're going to be talking about at IREM and some of the things you've touched upon, like in terms of how modern technology really is adapting and HR technologies really trying to meet people sort of how they really are doing their jobs or need to do their jobs versus sort of just, you know, kind of imposing its will on people. And I thought, you know, maybe you could comment a little bit of that, just more conceptually, not maybe not sort of in the context of a specific product, but just sort of conceptually what you sort of think really, you know, good HR technology solutions sort of enable in the organization.
Sure. You know, I think there are a couple key things to think about. And one of the first ones is who's actually using the technology? Because we have had shifts over the time that the IREM conference has been around or just the life cycle of HR. You know, it used to be that what we cared about was the HR people and how were they using the system. And then we rolled into these concepts around self-service and what does self-service mean. And as those sorts of things kind of started to come in, the question becomes who's using an HR system? And importantly, what else is going on? Because, you know, on the one hand, you could say if you're an HR person, you get in the morning, you turn on your HR system, and you spend most of your day working in the HR system. But if you're a manager or you're an employee, it's one thing on the many, many other things that you're trying to do, and you might lose context. You might kind of have 5 minutes, I need to go get something very quickly, and then I want to move on. So thinking about it in terms of how someone actually tends to interact with the technology, what are they trying to do, and how much guidance are they going to need along the processes, I think that's one of the keys, you know, really that's a key regardless of if you're talking HR technology or any other form of software. What does the user really need and in what context? Not just does it look pretty, but what are they trying to accomplish as they're using the software?
Right, because certainly, Gretchen, we can be kind of beguiled by attractive user interface and you know, flash, right? And that doesn't necessarily result in the right kind of system that'll solve the organization's, you know, more important needs than something that's really just fun, right?
Right. And, you know, a great example is, you know, 5-10 years ago, we had a whole bunch of arguments happening around, well, you know, should your HR system be more like an ATM with a bunch of very simple buttons, or should it be much more detailed? And, you know, the challenge was, well, if you're an HR user and you're in there every day and what you have are, you know, 4 very simple buttons, that's too many clicks to get to what you really need to do. But
right.
For someone who's only in there, you know, very infrequently, maybe that would be completely reasonable. So it's
right.
What makes most sense for that user, not just what is aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, Gretchen, thanks for that. Let's do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour. We are talking about HR technology and sort of the next gen of HR technology and what's happening with the IREM organization. I'm Steve Bose. Shauna Morkey is with us, of course. Our guests tonight are Nova Mana, who's the board chair of the IREM organization, also CEO of his own consulting company, and Gretchen Allerton from Oracle Corporation is with us as well, and you out there as well. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm already getting some back-channel feedback that Gretchen's got a super radio voice and my job is in jeopardy, Shauna. So, Gretchen,
agree,
you know, come
Steve.
On.
I'm
he
so
has
sorry.
A very
maybe,
busy voice.
Maybe you need to move along the roster a little.
I know. It could be time. You know, it could be time. I'm just waiting, Shauna. This is episode, I don't know if I even mentioned this at the beginning of the show.
93.
This is episode 93. So
we were listening.
There are rumors that I'm waiting just to get to 100 episodes, and that's when the big syndication money will kick in.
Yay, money.
There we go.
Then I'll retire, yeah, and just live off this.
Retire on the happy hour money.
There you go.
That's my plan. So we'll see how that works out. So,
Steve, I wondered if I could make a quick comment to
absolutely. No, go ahead.
Gretchen was mentioning, because I think she's absolutely correct in assessing the technology has changed over the very many years, and it's kind of forced HR to reevaluate itself. So, as you'd mentioned, Gretchen, that before we were very much inwardly looking, if you will, HR was serving itself and was very transactionally oriented. The advent of self-serve, the manager self-serve, and the employee self-serve opened up some interesting horizons and suddenly gave us opportunities to not necessarily push the work out to the place where it was happening, but to ensure integrity and perhaps usefulness of that information. But I think what we're really struggling with today is kind of that quantification of the workforce, and I would say that Oracle is leading that surge, if you will, along with a number of other vendors, trying to find ways in which we can analyze the workforce that we have and make them agile. So call it talent management, call it performance management, call it workforce metrics, workforce analytics, whatever the name is, we have been pouring information. And as I say, I've been around for a while, so we've been pouring information for 30-plus years into these systems. We are still struggling for the magic of pulling it back out that makes it highly meaningful to the business in terms of running it. To Gretchen's point about the fact that the manager really only uses that HR information to help manage their business, not necessarily just manage the people. And I think that's probably the crux of where we're seeing some tremendous changes in both technology and thinking in the HR world. My little adage is that people drive the business, HR drives the people. And that's kind of the way I look at it.
No, I like that. That's a good buzz line.
Cool.
I like that. Cool. Hey, that's interesting, you know, that you mentioned that one of the points you made sort of struck at me about sort of the business systems versus the HR systems. And maybe I'll throw this to you, Gretchen. You know, when you're in your strategy work and your design work, you know, with the products you're working on or just your philosophy in general, do you kind of sense or at least keep that mindset of we're really designing business systems and not just HR systems?
Well, I think that the way to think about it is, how are the systems being used? We are absolutely designing HR systems in that, for HR people, this is the system that they will use primarily. However, I think it's important to think about, again, if you're an executive or you're a manager, the HR system is a key component of your overall business system. So you need to look at both. And I think that where that starts to really come into play is when you start to look at some of the business intelligence people are trying to look for. If you're only thinking about HR people, then you're thinking about things like what is the cycle time on closing requisitions, or, you know, what are our best sources of hire, or how many terminations did we have and what percentage is that? You know, that it's very tactical HR data. And while that's important, that may not be necessarily as meaningful if you're talking to a manager or an executive who would like to know, you know, are the people who are turning over my critical hires, my critical people, or am I turning over people who are really not as important to my overall business? And what's happening over time? What's the actual impact if I'm, for example, losing some of my best salespeople? How much risk is that going to introduce into my organization? So starting to think about that more in terms of who is using that information, that's the way to kind of think about it. Not necessarily is it an HR system or a business system. It's both. It's just what information are they trying to use.
Right. And so in that example, Gretchen, you gave about the salespeople and losing the best salespeople, that sort of introduces an element of tying in more traditional financial and or operational metrics into the human capital metrics as well, which is difficult to do in lots of organizations with the systems that they're running.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that we probably have more information on our physical assets than we do about our human assets. I mean, we can tell you how much a desk is worth when we bought it, what its life expectancy is, et cetera, maintenance has been done to it. But we really are still trying to quantify or at least track what the human asset is all about and what is their contribution to the organization. Gretchen, I don't know how you feel about that per se, but that seems to be the place where we're kind of still hitting the wall a little bit and trying to understand how to manage that quantification.
Well, I think that part of the challenge is trying to understand what specifically are you trying to measure. Are you just trying to measure cost? Are you trying to measure opportunity? Are you trying to put that into some other sort of a framework? You know, one of the things that we've been exploring recently is more along the lines of correlated analytics. So, you know, how can I measure, you know, the impact that one salesperson has on closing my business. So if I bring on another person 2 months earlier, what's that likely to do to my returns in the next quarter or something like that? That's starting to get well beyond the traditional I need to hire and how quickly can I do it type of a question.
Exactly.
Right. That's definitely sort of the next level, or maybe even two levels beyond the typical, right, time to fill kind of metric that we all sort of know and love, right?
Exactly.
Let me do a quick reset. HR Happy Hour, we're with Nova Mana, Gretchen Alarcon from Oracle, Stephen Schauner here as well. Super conversation going on the Twitter back channel. Gretchen, I see you've dived into the mix. Congratulations. Good luck. Shauna, be careful out there. If Gretchen, like, send out a signal flare, Gretchen, if you need it. We'll try to reel you back.
Oh, she'll be fine.
I don't know. There's some shaky characters out there on the back channel sometimes.
Oh, you'd be nice.
I know. I tease. I tease. I love those guys. I do sort of love them. But so our call-in number is 646 877-378-1086. Quite a few folks on the line. If anybody wants to dive in and ask a question, just go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and I'll see you waving at me on my switchboard here, and I'll get you on board just as soon as I can as well. And also we'll be following the back channel on Twitter as well. Gretchen, I want to sort of move a little bit forward to another one of the themes that I know is going to be coming up in your keynote presentation at the IRIM conference, which is teamwork and sort of collaboration and how technologies and HR technologies can really sort of help people and help organizations in that really important aspect of sort of collaborative work and team effectiveness. I wonder if you might share some of the things you're thinking about or perhaps might talk about at the IRIM conference as it relates to collaboration and teamwork.
Yeah, you know, there's so much going on in this area, and I think we've all kind of seen it evolve over time. You know, when we first started talking about this from a social perspective, I think there was much more the social aspect of it as opposed to what's the business value. So I think one of the things to think about when you're starting to talk about collaboration and you're trying to talk about how do you find value from that collaboration, you know, in some ways it is going to come back to measurement because everyone is starting to talk about we need to do better collaboration because there are all these wonderful new tools out there. But part of the question is what are you trying to accomplish with it? What we are looking at and some of the areas we're exploring is how do you find a mentor? How do you expose the skills people have and help them communicate what they can do, what they'd like to do, and use it for employee engagement? Or do you do some other areas in terms of knowledge management, knowledge sharing? As we've been talking to some of our customers around what they're trying to accomplish with collaboration, many of them are looking at both of those areas. More the employee engagement piece is kind of popping up first, but as we start talking about, well, what else could you do if you had better collaboration, people start volunteering other things like, you know, we could find someone with the right skill set more quickly. We could answer a customer question more quickly. We could share the knowledge and not wind up with, you know, people working on competing projects that should be being collaborated on or pulled more tightly together. So, again, focusing these tools not just on collaboration is an exciting thing, but what are you trying to accomplish and how can we make sure that we're really, you know, focusing on that around the social and collaborative pieces?
Gretchen, now, can you hang on one second? I just want a quick follow-up
sure.
So I don't forget it. Just, Gretchen, as you talk about the collaboration in sort of the context of solving business problems, I wonder if you might just have a thought or two. There seems to be a couple of different sort of camps, maybe that's not the right way to say it, but different types of technology solutions that are emerging on the market. And one set of them seems to be more about the collaborative tool as sort of a destination of itself, right? It's a separate system and sort of lives on its own, and people go there to collaborate. And then there's another school of thought that sort of suggests these collaborative tools or the collaborative capabilities really need to be woven in pretty deeply into the traditional and typical systems where most people spend a lot of their time. And I just wonder sort of philosophically if you had any sort of opinion or just comment about sort of those two sort of competing viewpoints of collaborative technology inside the enterprise.
Sure. Well, you know, I've always got opinions, but, you know,
we'll
buy you a cup of coffee. So it's a question of what's the value. I think that there are a couple different ways to think about it. If I think about my own personal experience, when it comes to I need to find a resource, I need to find somebody, I need to find that person at the time I perceive that I have that need. And if to use an HR example, if I'm going through a transaction and a process and I have a question and what I have to do is stop, leave the system, go someplace else to collaborate and find somebody, you know, I'm very unlikely to go back and finish completing whatever it was I was doing in the HR system because I get distracted. I'm busy and I have other things to do. And, you know, I'll remember later on to come back. So if there's a way to have that collaboration, can I get help? Can I get access to an answer? What could I do about that? I think that that's in the process. I think the other thing that does come up, though, is when you're thinking more about team collaboration and how the team process needs to work, you know, we've got a group of people who are all going to be assigned a similar project. You know, you could have an argument about if that's a separate process or if that's actually tied to another set of activities. Like maybe, for example, if I'm working in the HR space and I'm spinning up a team to relook at our benefits choices because it's coming up to the time for us to renew some contracts, I might want that associated with in my HR system because that's where people are managing and I want to have that sharing and kind of that space for collaboration there. Just again, to have it all in one central place. I'd argue that for a lot of companies, just getting to that central place is the first priority, because a lot of people are struggling just to have that way of sharing.
Right, right. And possibly maybe some organizations are overthinking it, right? And mm-hmm. maybe getting worried too much about, boy, this really needs to be embedded into an existing process. And while that's really tough to do, and there are not many tools that can do that just yet, so they kind of stop short of just taking the first step, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you had a comment a second ago before I rudely interrupted you, and I hope
that's okay. You're the host. I guess that's allowed. No. No. What I was going to. I'm sorry. Say it again.
Oh, no. Here I go. I'm pulling a Steve.
Take two. What I was going to mention is, and I think you touched a little bit on this, Steve, as well, is that in my mind, the collaboration and the social network, if you will, in conjunction with one another, I think is a very powerful tool. Now, there's not a lot necessarily that's been done yet to that, but I think that you're seeing both of the collaboration tools and the social media moving in those kind of, I would say, collision paths. But what I am seeing, and let's take it a little step further and give you a scenario. We have a community of people with like interests, let's say within a company, but I'm going to take that back in a moment and expand that. But let's say within a company with like interests, sharing ideas and perhaps generating a new work product so that the company actually benefits. And it's not what I'd call a brand new idea. If you stop and think about what Starbucks tried to do with their coffee houses online, they were asking their customers to come and give new ideas and talk about it. So I think what we're seeing, and I think we're missing a little bit of a bet in terms of bringing those two things together so that the collaboration yields something that even the company could potentially use as a work product or even a brand new product. But I also have a concern about the social media stopping at the firewall. My social network doesn't stop at the edges of my business. It actually goes well into my personal network and my business network. And I find solutions to my concerns and problems out there more often than I would potentially inside. And that's something that, again, I think HR is a little bit shy to do that because they're concerned about the liabilities of people reaching well outside of the organization and the loss of potential intellectual property. But I think that we actually are hamstringing ourselves a little bit by thinking that way. And
no,
I would pose that question to the audience.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point, the firewall, the quote you mentioned, because you know, I would tend to agree with you, certainly, particularly that, you know, and Shauna, right? I mean, this show and sort of most of the people who listen to the show are very much products of this sort of social collaborative kind of space.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, we don't sort of think twice when you run into a real problem at your real job to reach out to your network of friends and colleagues and so on
that's
and so
what
forth.
I'm here for.
Right. Why not? But certainly in many organizations, there's got to be that sort of reticence or either unfamiliarity or certainly a reticence, as Noah suggested, to sort of keep that kind of thing, that kind of collaborative capability or potential capability on the other side of the firewall. And there's no doubt about that. Today or yesterday, someone had tweeted out, and I can't remember who it was, but someone had tweeted out like a survey of some kind saying, taking a survey, is your company sort of blocking access to social tools or social networking tools in the workplace? Please click here to take the survey. And if you click there, it was like some sort of Facebook link, and it was, you know, you couldn't even get there. So so there was the survey, right? I can't take it. I guess that's my answer. I can't connect to the survey. So super point, Nova. I appreciate that. So let's pause for a second. We're about more than halfway through the show. I told you, Nova, the show would fly by.
And it
always
is.
Does.
Truly.
It always does. We're with Nova Omana from the IREM Group, as well as his own consulting group as well. Gretchen Alarcon from Oracle is with us. We're really pleased to have Nova and Gretchen with us. So, before we get to sort of the end of the show and we run out of time, and I have a couple more points I want to circle back to Gretchen on in and around her presentation and some of those themes. But, Nova, I wanted to give you the chance to just talk a little bit more about the event coming up next month, or in
Thank
May,
yeah.
the Ironman.
Yeah, and actually, I appreciate that very much because I neglected, as we were saying, as we're talking about social media and things of that nature, IREM has invested very, very heavily into creating that kind of you know, the foundation of the organization being networking, we've invested in creating what we call CORE, C-O-R-E, which is our social network for members and prospects and such. And we're finding a lot of traction in there because a little bit of what I was saying is that we're seeing people posting things, templates of, let's say, evaluations for systems or things of that nature. That so we're not reinventing the wheel. So there's a lot of work product that's being put out in the social network to be reused over and over again. And I think that's a tremendous benefit, if you will, of just that technology as a whole. The conference coming up in May, and it's May 15th through the 18th at the Gaylord National Resort in Washington, D.C., is our 31st annual conference. And I will give a plug to Gretchen because we are most pleased to have her as our keynote speaker. I've seen her speak in many instances, dynamic, very dynamic.
Gretchen, that sounds pretty good. Dynamic.
I was going to say, he's a little overselling. Now I got to up my game for this conference.
We'll get that cup of coffee later. Anyway. But we do anticipate a record crowd coming out. And Washington, D.C. has always been a tremendously great location for us. And we actually have a government track geared for information management specialists in the HR field. So we will have a lot of representation from the governmental, federal agencies and such. In fact, we have the Department of the Navy and the Treasury Department giving presentations there, along with the Mayo Clinic and Sony Music and Dell Computers, and just a slew of very, very superb presentations. I'll put a plug in. I get to do a presentation myself on a virtual environment and the uses of that in HR.
Interesting. I'd love to learn a little bit more about that, the virtual environment and what you mean by that. That sounds pretty intriguing.
Well, we're at the Collective HR Solutions, my company, is using that for training purposes. So it's an avatar-based virtual environment where we can immerse people in situations for management training that probably far surpass what you end up doing in a conference room for, let's say, team building and that. So imagine you're on a moon base. You've got 9 spacesuits, 10 people, and a small air leak. Can we fix this as a team? And the
depends on who I'm in there with. There might be a quick fix. Someone
yeah.
might be leaving.
Well, that might actually solve the problem by opening the airlock and pushing someone out.
Right,
I don't think
exactly.
It was the object of the simulation. But the opportunities to do these things in a rapid fashion in a very, I would say, a gaming environment, which in all honesty, when you think about our generational workforce, the Gen Yers and the Boomers themselves are very much into that kind of thinking and simulations. So it's gotten to be an interesting thing, and we're presenting with Club One, who is a fitness club that is actually using the virtual-based environment for avatars to go out there after their real-life person has gone and exercised. They're finding that group is losing weight faster than the other control groups, because they're seeing this as a social network and support group.
Hold on. So you exercise in the real world, and then you dive into the virtual world, and
your avatar exercises there. My avatar does look a lot better than I do.
Can I let my avatar do the exercise for me?
Yeah, I was going to say, I sense I'd be skipping that whole first real world part.
That's the downside, is we haven't crossed that chasm yet. But the idea is that it really becomes an environment where people are really sharing and experiencing some new things, and it's really dynamic. So I'm very, very excited about the presentation we're going to do there. And we have some tremendously great business cases being presented as well, so some very new innovative technologies to what I call sometimes the basics, but we also have a membership and an attendee base that is constantly in turnover, so we have new people entering into the industry who've never had the responsibility, let's say, for project management. So we offer a lot of educational courses and sessions that'll help somebody, so to speak, get their feet wet in the industry.
And so the dates, make sure we get the dates out there and how people can learn more about the event, so we make sure we get those out before the show's over.
Yeah, that's May 15th to the 18th, and if they go up to the website at www.irem.org, they will see all the stuff.
Maybe you can tweet that out as well on the hashtag so folks can
perfect.
Check that
as
out.
As we speak.
I love it. I think, Nov, I think a combination of Gretchen's speech and this virtual sort of collaborative environment, training environment presentation, that's a win-win right here. I'm intrigued by it.
I think it will be quite a bit of fun.
Great. Great, super. A little quick reset. We got 20 minutes to go in the show. We're with Nova Mana from IRIM, Gretchen Alarcon from Oracle. We're talking about HR technology, IRIM. We're talking about exercising in a virtual world, which sounds pretty cool to me. You're out there hanging out with us as well, 646-378-1086. Please do call in if you want to make a comment or ask a question. We definitely have time to take a few calls. There's lots of people on the line. If you want to ask a question and you're hanging out on the phone right now, press 1 and we will put you up momentarily. So, Gretchen, I'll throw it back to you. And, you know, we've got a little bit more time left on the show. And one of the other themes from your keynote presentation at IRIM is talking about looking forward and how organizations can get a better handle on the future and sort of more predictive types of analytics and things like that and how their HR technology can support sort of planning and really sort of predicting what might happen. So I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about what are some of the really good challenges that organizations have in this light and what some of the really interesting ways technology can respond to help organizations in this sort of modeling and predictive analytics type of area.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I was watching the back channel and Amy just commented about Frogger, which got me off onto playing arcade games back in the day.
Yeah, the back channel is distracting. I know it.
Very distracting.
And I do agree. Gen X is absolutely into simulations, too, as long as we get to play Pac-Man at the same time.
right.
In terms of other themes, though, back on to topic,
let's get back.
A couple things.
Let's rein it in. Come on.
Let me rein it back in to what I'm supposed to be talking about. We are definitely seeing a lot of companies are asking questions, and this comes back again to how do you utilize the information that you have? And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we face as HR people, especially, is we do generate an awful lot of information, and for the most part, that information is static. It is what happened. We hired this many people. We transferred this many people. It's what happened. And some companies are starting to look at more in-process analytics. So as you're going to make a change, what information would help you make a better decision? You know, if you knew, for example, what the last three or four people to receive a promotion, what percentage they received if they were going into the same job grade, you might make a better decision because you've got a little bit more real-time data. So we've taken those two things, and then we started to say, okay, well, there's this whole other element of prediction that starts to come in. And it's interesting to think about applying prediction to people because, on the one hand, I'm an individual and I don't like people to say that I will do what everyone else does because I have a very strong sense of myself as an individual. But we definitely do use prediction in other areas. Retailers, for example, know very, very clearly how much money they should expect to clear, and in many companies they're looking at it on an hourly basis. You know, if it's Tuesday a Tuesday the first week in April, how much money should we be closing hour by hour compared to the first Tuesday of last year? So if you take some of those concepts and you think about, well, how could we apply that to human resources information? What if we could draw some connections from all this data that we're creating and say, you know, based on what we know, if someone had a life event 4 years ago and 3 years later they switched jobs to a manager who has kind of a so-so retention rating for their team, and now they're 1 year later and they haven't gotten a salary adjustment, their likelihood of leaving the organization goes up. And you could say, well, you know, what if the manager was good? They were, you know, they knew their stuff. They have one-on-ones. They check in regularly. And that's entirely true. We all know what the tools are, but the data might lead someplace else. And so you can almost think about that as kind of an early warning system. Who is likely to be more at risk that, you know, you might want to choose to do some sort of an engagement with now rather than waiting? You could do it the other way, too. Who is likely to be a high performer in the organization based on their skill set or how long they've been in the organization or, you know, their connections within the organization, that sort of a thing? That's another way to think about it. So we can look at it from both directions and think about that predictive capability.
Yeah, and I think, Gretchen, that's really, really interesting because I haven't heard it sort of described in quite so, you know, nuanced perhaps in a while or maybe ever. And it's interesting, though, it made me think of, boy, that really requires some real insight just beyond being able to compile all this data and sort of crunch it effectively, but to really understand kind of deeply sort of the drivers that may make someone successful or not successful, or might drive a high performer versus a low performer, because there's almost so much data out there. It must be difficult at times to really understand what metrics or what decision points are really meaningful for your organization compared to a different organization.
Right, and I think that's, again, where a lot of this has to be predicated on your information. And for those of you playing bingo, predicated will get you points. I think the thing we do need to think about, though, is each organization has very different trends and different things. You could say, in general, life events, time since promotion, salary change, what have you, you know, those will impact one way or another. But you could also say, you know, in my organization, we broadband, and so salary grade isn't as important in my organization as it might be in another. And again, leveraging the data of your people, the demographics of your organization, over time, those predictions can become much more real and more grounded, and therefore more actionable.
Gretchen, I have a question from the audience. Maybe you've seen it. Mr. Mark Stelzner, the voice of HR Happy Hour, has asked this question. It's a great question. Thank you, Mark. And the question for Gretchen is, what skill set does HR need to develop to support the scenario that you're describing, and that really sort of deep analytical kind of and insight in decision making from that data?
Sure. You know, I think that part of this is talking, it's back to some of the conversations we've had for years around, is it time to think about different skills for HR people? You know, if you think about a very large number or proportion of the HR folks come from more of that, I'm a people person, I'm very strongly relatable, I spend a lot of time interacting with folks, and that is still a very strong needed skill. It may be time to look at another group, which is more that business analyst type of a role for HR, to say, let's draw some connections within the data and, you know, show that more from a business standpoint. So, you know, kind of it's that same split that I think we saw happen in financials a while ago, starting to show again in HR.
Yeah, and, you know, I wonder if we could just, like, you know, I'm, this is going to sound like a joke, and it's not. Like, could we sort of, like, Watson the whole thing? You know, like IBM Watson I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a lot of really good idea.
No, a lot of people would say that HR is like Jeopardy.
Well, no, but I mean, you're out there in immersive, collaborative worlds, right?
Yeah.
So why not? I mean, could you put people in that collaborative world and predict their performance potential?
Well,
I think one of the things that I just saw this come through actually on the back channel as well. I think the difference between trends and predictions, and just to kind of step on that a little bit, trends are things that you can that you know are happening over time that you can see, you know, possibly see coming. Prediction, kind of where I'm drawing a distinction, is actually trying to connect a large number of factors together, not just the economy's picking up and therefore people are more likely to be looking for jobs. That's more of a trend kind of a thing, whereas prediction is going to draw from a number of different components that, again, may not only be in the HR space. You know, our numbers went up and we're getting close to the end of the fiscal year, and, oh, by the way, we have some people who are in a team that didn't do so well. Drawing many things like that might lead to us to say, well, we could predict some risk in this area of sales, for example, or something like that. So it's really more drawing connections and then saying what could happen, as opposed to just looking at over time what has changed.
Yeah, and to your point, Gretchen, I think you're quite right when we were talking earlier about the fact that we have all this information, but it's trying to find the quantification of, you know, it's not even just the individuals. Like you say, the predictive aspect talks about so many different factors. Part of it is going to be the culture of the organization as well that has a factor that go into that equation. But it's trying to understand the economy, the competition, the workforce, the opportunities of the business, and, if you will, some other factors around that, the financial health of the organization. So all those things get factored in there to help you understand a little bit of the opportunity or the risk. But I don't know that we would ever get down to the individualized perspective yet. I see that as probably too granular for the predictive situation.
Gretchen, no, super conversation. Let's take a quick reset. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. Sean, I told you this was going to get really tacky and geeky, and it certainly has, which is
really?
Which is awesome, right? We're talking video games, virtual collaborative.
Rachel, I'm not sure if you were tacky or geeky, and then I'll take the other one then.
No. Geeky's awesome.
Ouch.
But I have a big critical question about the IRM conference.
Yes.
There was a lot of talk in SHRM about Hall & Oates. What kind of entertainment are you guys looking to pull in? Are we going to do something crazy here, like maybe a Spice Girls reunion or something?
No, we'll all be in Second Life having one heck of a party. It's much easier to arrange that way. No, I'm not going to spoil any surprises. I have to leave that to Lynn.
Okay.
But if you're there, I guarantee you'll enjoy yourself. I did want to make a very quick comment because I think the reality of the situation is well seen. When you talk about the skills being changed in the world of human resources, the organization on IRM offers what we call a human resources information professional certification. And it's a set of exams and such that then yields certification in the industry. As we formulated the program, we recognized very quickly that what was traditionally the HRIS person really became not only the person who is technically adept in one aspect, implementationally, you know, from an implementation standpoint, understands project management and so on, but it's financial analysis, it's business case, it's marketing, it's communication, it's team building. There's all these other components, and we test for that for knowledge and familiarity before the certification is granted. But if I looked back in the history, and I've always been in this kind of mid-ground of HRIS, HRIT, when I first started in that, it was just had to do with my technical ability, and that has morphed into something much broader. The same parallels exist in the HR world, to Gretchen's point. It's the business analysis. It's the ability to look at the business and match the workforce and provide programs or things that are happening there, or the workforce itself, to be responsive to the business. And that is a very major transition, which I don't think that HR, they are endorsing it, but it's a change. It's a major change.
Yeah,
and the
no,
technology has continued to support that as well.
No, that's a super point. I think that the ability to sort of adapt these types of certification programs to sort of keep with the times, keep with the changing technologies are really critically important. And probably some of the concern, right, Sean, we've heard and some of the criticism we've heard about some of the standard HR types of certification programs. In the almost two years we've been doing the show, we've talked about that at least a couple of times, and we'll probably come up again as well. So just for the folks who are hanging out on the back channel, I just want to quickly, especially we're playing bingo, I just have a few quick things to say. Seat at the table, out of the box, win-win, strategic, leverage, synergy, integrated talent management. So hopefully that will.
Fabulous. And if I can just add, if you really want to geek out on some of these concepts, not only do you get me at the IRM conference, we've actually got two people on my team giving separate sessions on organization development relation content and also more on collaboration. So we've got even more geekiness going to happen in May.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's absolutely.
I'm a big for the geekiness.
Yeah, no doubt. Shauna, that's right up your alley, and there's no doubt about that. So we've got just about 5 or 6 minutes left in the show, and I do want to make sure, Shauna, I do have, of course, announcements at the end of the show I have to get to, so I'm going to make sure I leave myself.
Really? More?
Is it ridiculous? Because I never get to announce the upcoming shows. I never have time for that, and I have four of them.
I know.
We've got the next 4 weeks of shows booked, and I need to announce them. I promised. I wrote them down on a piece of paper, so I must therefore read them out loud. So, but I did have just maybe sort of closing thoughts or last sort of question or comment, you know, maybe towards Gretchen. Just kind of, you know, if we've started to look forward, we have talked about some really forward-thinking stuff today, you know, with the collaborative stuff and the predictive analytics and the real sort of deep analysis of data. But, I mean, is there something even beyond that you're thinking about or talking about either internally or just yourself you're speculating on about where we're going in sort of workforce technologies that maybe some, you know, maybe something you can't give away, it's a secret, but just, you know, what do you think, you know, the next few years are really going to look like for organizations in HR technology?
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the things that we're definitely exploring and playing with, I think Nov covered it a little bit earlier, is, you know, collaboration is not just about the people you work with on a day-to-day basis. It's other people in your organization. It's other organizations overall, you know, how do we think about collaboration, really tying it to business value? We're certainly early days on that, and one of the things I think we're talking about right now is how do we really tie that in very strongly to the business? I think the other thing to think about overall is there needs to be a focus, where, whatever HR technology is, and I think one of the challenges we run into at times with HR technology is to try to go for the new, and then it becomes another fine program from HR without really getting the business value. So one of the things we're really focusing on right now is, as our customers or as HR people in general, if you're exploring technology, what are you trying to accomplish and what are going to be those success points that you're going to look for to be able to say, I brought in the technology and I delivered this, so you're really driving that business value within your organization. That's, you know, we've said for a while we want to go there, but now we're really focusing in on what would those proof points really look like. So rather than saying, I need something new, it's, I need something new because I want to drive this specific activity within my organization. So that's one of the other areas we're focusing on.
Great, Gretchen. Thanks for that. Sean, I just realized, Gretchen, I got to the end of the show, and I had written, in, you know, the last thing I have in my paper, we're not going to have time to really talk about it. We'll have to do another show. Is I had the word mobile.
Oh.
So I didn't have any questions written around it, but I had the word written down.
Say that's the next bastion. Mobile.
Can't we just take that
and
written at this point?
I can't believe we did, you know, 55 minutes of show and I didn't ask the question about mobile.
Well, that's
so,
because everybody was using Twitter, so we're already there.
We're going to
do a show dedicated just to that theme, though.
We really need to do a whole mobile show because it's not, you know, there's a lot of aspects to mobile, right, in the HR technology space. There's a heavy, heavy recruiting emphasis in mobile as well. And I know there's lots of friends of ours and friends of the show who are heavily invested in sort of the mobile recruiting technologies, mobile recruiting space, and we just have never really touched on that. I don't think, Shauna, right? We've never done a show on that. And, you know, and everybody's freaking out. I'm sure at the IRM conference, a number of the vendors will be, you know, doing the iPad 2 giveaways. And, you know, when I was at the ERE Expo last week, that was a pretty big deal. And
oh, yeah.
So, you know, the truth of it is, you know, I've been reading a lot of things about, you know, bring your own device to work policies in a number of organizations and internal app store development for mid-sized, certainly, in larger organizations, doing the whole private app store model is happening. So I think we need to do a whole topic on that for sure. Okay.
If I could close a very quick one for you, Steve. In
real quick, because we're going to be up against it.
Okay. And that is that the idea of the telecommuting has changed vastly. So when you couple mobile to where people are working, there's a lot that HR should be thinking about, as should IT, about intellectual property wandering outside the building these days.
I'm thinking about it right now.
Toss it into your hopper. That should make sense.
Last words from you. IRIM.org, IHRIM.org. Check out the learn about the conference there, May 15th through 18th in Washington, D.C. Anything else from you want to mention that
other than to say thank you very, very much for a most enjoyable hour.
No, we really appreciate you taking the time. Super. Thanks so much. Gretchen Alarcon from Oracle, keynote coming up next month at IRIM. Any final thoughts from you, any mentions, any shout-outs you want to make? What should we know?
I just say thank you for having us here. And then I also really do appreciate the opportunity to have that communication continue through Twitter or through these other forums. I think this is an area that's changing a lot, and the more people share, the better the chance it will raise, you know, the bar for everyone within HR. So thank you for doing this, and hopefully we can help and continue to participate.
Gretchen, thank you so much. And Gretchen is on Twitter as well.
Hey, Gretchen.
Gretchen A on Twitter. And she was a great sport tonight, jumping in on the back channel as well, and we really appreciate it. So, Shauna, super job getting the show set up tonight. Fantastic work. Let me just real quick shout out upcoming shows. Next week, the sports show is back, the 8-man rotation show with our friend Lance on, Tim Sackett, Chris Dunn, a.k.a. Bruno, Matt Stalick, and myself. Huge announcement around the 8-man rotation. The next week after that, the HR Evolution preview show. And then in late April, we're going to have Tom Silver from Dice.com is going to come back. He was a super guest about half a year ago or maybe more. We're going to come on and talk about the tech recruiting market and the market in general. And then Dr. Woody. Do you know Dr. Woody, Shauna, from Fox Business News?
Oh.
Fantastic writer, speaker, author. Dr. Woody is going to join us as well in a few weeks. So That's what's all coming up on the HR Happy Hour. Shauna, if you wanted to open up the back channel, I'm going to open up the lines for a little post-show chat. Please feel free. Nova Mana, Gretchen Alarcon, thank you so much. Acquire, our great friends
thank
at
you.
Acquire, thank you. And thanks, everybody, for listening, and good night from the HR Happy Hour.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HR Happy Hour, sponsored by Acquire, a leading provider of workforce planning and analytics solutions and enthusiastic proponent of free stuff. Go to aquire.com/downloads for free software trials, free webinars, free podcasts, free case studies, and more. Did we mention it's all free? Acquire.com/downloads. Who doesn't like freebies?
I can't do anything.
Thanks, everybody. Super show tonight. Nova and Gretchen, if you're still with us, thank you very much for taking the time. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
It.
This was quite a lot of fun to start with, and I can see you guys enjoy it. So.
Great. Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah.
You guys were super gassed. We'd love to have you back sometime. Nova, I'm
happy
really,
to.
Really.
It's not that Gretchen and I don't have opinions.
Yeah, no, super job. Just so you guys know, we're not live streaming at all anymore, but this little after show talk does make the recorded archive. So,
no problem.
Just so you know. But Gretchen, thank you so much. I know you're busy. Please don't feel obligated to hang out with us. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, you guys take care and have a good evening. Take
great,
care.
No, thank
Gretchen,
you so much.
Gretchen, we'll see you soon. Take care.
All right, sounds Bye-bye. Good. Thanks, you all. Thanks for letting me participate.
Yeah, Gretchen, thank you so much. I finally met Amy last week at ERE
Expo.
Oh,
great.
She sat down with me for we did a live HR happy hour on the web stream last week, and she sat down for about 20-25 minutes, did a great spot with me, so we're really excited.
Oh, that's
about
fabulous.
That.
Amy's wonderful.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Steve, I was going to remind you, don't forget to send me your email information so I can I'll take you on a tour out to Second Life and show you what we're doing.
I'd love to.
Cool.
Let's get that connected. I would love to. I'd love to be something I could, you know, I'd be happy to, and I'd love to write about it as well on my site.
Are you going to be at the conference at all?
I'm going to try to get there, Nov. I have just a huge number of challenges with my schedule in the next few months.
I understand.
Plus, I have a real job I need to attend to from time to time.
A real job.
Yeah, exactly.
A real job is him and your style,
Steve. If you end up that way, please let us know. We'd love to make you welcome. And like I say, we'll invite you over to that session with the Club One folks. We'll get your avatar. Now, remember, though, if you're losing pounds, they're virtual pounds. So.
Right. Right.
All righty. Stay well, everyone.
Great.
Take care.
Great, Nov.
Good
okay.
evening.
Bye
bye.
Good night. I'm going to drop off too. I have to go be
all right, great,
so I will let you
so
guys
much.
Have the conversation.
Great job. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
Thank
bye
you,
bye. Okay. All right. I don't know where that other background noise is coming from. We'll see if we can sort it out. So, well, good job. That was a fun show. Loved it.
Okay.
Gretchen was great. Nov was great. Super job. Thanks, everybody, for participating. Shauna, you know, we're rolling on. I was just looking at the calendar. Show 100's coming up, so we got
to
start planning.
We have to do something fun for it.
What's that?
We have to do something fun for it.
We certainly do. I don't know what that will entail just yet, but we'll do something like that. So, all right, we better probably just drop off. We're losing we're losing back channel folks as we speak. Last chance. Anybody who's still on wants to say hello. All right.
Nope.
Well, great. Super. All right, I'm going to play us out, Shauna. Great job. Thanks you. We'll see you next
Great.
Week for the HR Happy Hour. Good night, everyone.
Bye.